We are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the 9th chapter, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, text number 22. Ananyastintayantoma Ye jana paryupasate Te samnichabhi yuktanam Yogakshemam vahamiyaham. Ananya. Having no other object. Chintayanta. Concentrating. Mam. On me. Ye. Those who. Janaha. Persons. Paryupashate, properly worship. Tisam, of them. Nitya, always. Abhiyuktanam, fixed in devotion. Yoga, requirements. Ksimam, protection. Vahami, carry. Aham, I. Translation. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Purport. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna consciousness, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable conditioned life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sirupam sagrajatam sahagana raganatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam prijanasaitam krishna chaitanya devam sirada krishna padam sahagana lalita sivisakun vitamscha hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. So the verse begins, Ananyas Chintayantumam. And in the word for word, it is translated as Ananya, having no other object, and Chintayanta means concentrating, Mam, on me. To have no other object, no other thought than thinking of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always. To somehow or other, do everything for Krishna. This is really the perfection of life. This movement is not an ordinary movement at all, because it is not offering some sort of process. It's not that there are many different kinds of yoga, Raja Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Kundalini Yoga, and so on. And that you can just go shopping around and say, well, let me try Kundalini for a while. let me try hatha for a while, etc. Maybe now I'll try bhakti yoga. There is a great difference, because hatha yoga is basically a process through which we can control the senses and the mind, so that we can, after that, fix the mind upon the Supreme Lord. But bhakti yoga is a process that attracts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is service to the Supreme Lord, and that service captures the heart of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, bhakti yoga is a totally different process. It has a totally different effect. It is a personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, whatever happens in Krishna consciousness is never ordinary, and one knows that one is dealing directly with Krishna, who is personally interfering in our life and personally making all kinds of adjustments and arrangements. And this is actually what we are perceiving in our devotional service. And the more one is coming to this point of ananyas chintayanto mam, of thinking about the Supreme Lord without deviation, the more one, the Lord will reciprocate. So this is actually what we have come together for. The purpose that we are here is that we should come close. We should be close as a group, because together and only together can we actually create that atmosphere where we always remember Krishna. It cannot be done alone. The spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, spoke out strongly in that saying of Vaishnava K, who are you? What kind of Vaishnava are you? Trying to perform near Janabhajan, trying to perform the worship of the Lord in solitude. That does not work. It does not apply. It is particularly in the combined efforts of the Vaishnavas that we can overcome our conditioning. We should not forget that we are residents of the age of Kali. There is no doubt about it. Right? Manda sumanda matiyo manda bhagya hi upadruta. Always slow intelligence. Slow intelligence. Why slow intelligence? Because although we know that we should surrender to Krishna, we don't do it. That's why we are slow in intelligence. Although we have heard all the arguments, although we accept that it is true, still we're not doing. So this is unintelligent. Right? Still we're not acting upon it. Therefore, slow in applying our intelligence. Lazy. Misfortunate. This is the age where the whole world is just misfortunate. It's amazing how many people are just suffering from diseases and deformations and all kinds of afflictions upon their bodies or minds. The whole world is just full of it. If you look around, it's quite amazing. And it's maybe shows a little more with the poor than with the rich, but yet no one is exempt. Just in India, of course, you always see graphic illustrations of this point. So you see someone hobbling around with a stick, right? And you also see how some very wealthy cripple is having two servants bringing a fancy wheelchair, but it's the same thing, right? Same thing. The same afflictions. Our family doctor, when we were kids, our family doctor had a glass eye, right? So I was always staring at it, you know, where I go, a glass eye. Really scary. Yes, that also happens, right? So what can we say? The afflictions in this age are very, very intense. That is the nature of the age of Kali. Unfortunate. So we are residents of this age of Kali. Upadruta, always disturbed. So it is not that any of us is above these influences. Srimad Bhagavatam gives an interesting description of when Kali Yuga began. It is said that Kali Yuga began 5,000 years ago when Lord Krishna left the planet, and that at that time Arjuna was in Dwarka and was returning from Dwarka and meeting Yudhisthira Maharaj, and Yudhisthira Maharaj does not want to ask the question, and Arjuna doesn't want to speak the word, but all the signs are there that Krishna must have left the planet because there are everywhere inauspicious signs. It is said that fathers and sons are fighting. Even husband and wife are fighting, right? It is said. Unheard of. Symptoms of the age of Kali. And so many other symptoms are being seen by Yudhisthira Maharaj, who can understand. Krishna must have left the planet. Arjuna knows and is depressed and cannot tell his brother what has happened because it's too painful. So the symptoms of the age of Kali set in, and suddenly all kinds of faulty behavior came in. So here we are, residents of the age of Kali. That is a given, and we should not ever consider that we are beyond that. It's very important to realize that we really are from this particular era contaminated with all the limitations. Therefore, weakness is our second nature. Therefore, Sankirtan is essential. We see that in the Satya Yuga, sages such as Sobhara Muni would enter underwater for a period of 10,000 years to try and meditate deeply on the Lord. In other words, they were really going for a secluded place. He was looking for a place where he would not be disturbed, so he decided to go underwater. And by his mystic power, he was able to do so. But in this age, how long can anyone stay underwater? Not only that, right? Even Sobhara Muni was distracted by some fish who were having a love affair. And this fishy love affair captured his mind. So, what to say? For us, we don't need to see any fish because just our mind is naturally inclined towards illicit sex. Right? We do not need any stimulants. Right? Just when we are on our own already, we can easily find that subject matter and dwell on it. It is very natural. So this is our problem as the residents of the age of Kali. Naturally contemplate on all the sinful activities somehow or other. So what to do? Our mind by nature being sinful. Somehow or other, by engaging it in devotional service, in the association of the Vaishnavas. It is the dynamics of serving Krishna together that gives us the strength. Therefore, we rely on the temple and on the association in the temple, and it's the atmosphere in the temple and so on that will carry us. Because alone, alone with the philosophy, alone with the holy name, alone with the Srimad Bhagavatam, and alone with our mind, right? Then what choice to make, right? Bhagavatam or the mind, alone with the senses. Very difficult, right? Very difficult. So, ananyas chintayanto mam is only possible in the association of the Vaishnavas. So therefore we should seek that out. It is by being with devotees that we are getting that strength. And we should, and not a day should go by without the association of devotees. If we have, whether we have to come from far. This is the glory of Indian culture, that people know these things, and that you can see. I was just in Jaipur in India visiting the Govindaji temple, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can see people walking. And they're walking in the direction of the Govinda temple. It's very far. Long walk to make it from Mangalartik every day. And they're walking. Not just so easily. No, they're really with endeavor doing this. They have great devotion for the deities. They really have great faith in the deity. They really believe that the deity is the Supreme Lord. Not just that deity is nice and inspiring, but they go so much out of their way for the deity. It's amazing what they are not doing for the deity. This is very necessary that we somehow or other, every day, seek out the association of the devotees. Without that, what is our hope? Without that, what is our chance? Kali Yuga man, Kali Yuga women, no hope for us, right? There's only one opportunity for us, to again fall prey to our lower nature. Right? And we don't like our lower nature, but what to do? It's stronger than us. Right? This is the nature of this age. So, by the process of chanting congregationally, or chanting the holy name in the association of devotees, it is possible. Ananyas chintiyantumam ye jana paryupasate. And then Krishna, he will make up for what we lack. He will make up for our Kali Yuga lack of qualification. And that's how this movement works. And as the years go by, we gradually begin to realize that I am actually a Kali Yuga product. I'm actually nothing special. I'm actually a basket case. I'm actually I'm actually less intelligent. It's amazing. Nowadays I begin to think that I'm not so intelligent. Not yet thinking I'm less intelligent, but a little less intelligent. And I used to think that I was super intelligent. So there's hope in this process. Gradually, one becomes purified. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. We do not have any great personal qualifications. That is to be understood. Therefore, we need all this shelter that we can get. We cannot on our own ever think that we can survive. Oh, yes, 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 we can do. Yes, no problem. Very difficult. Yes, very difficult. So, living in the temple or being connected to the temple is not easy because it involves tolerance, right? For one thing. To live in a community of people is very difficult. To deal with other people that are all different is very difficult. Extremely stressful because one has to constantly adjust for others and they have other ideas. And so on. So what can we do? But still, this is where it must happen. But what we could do is, if we would all go forward in our glorification of Krishna, and just in enthusiastically serving Krishna, then the differences are no longer noticeable. Then the differences fall away. And then appreciation develops. And everyone gets some opportunity to render something. Therefore, in the spiritual world, there is a constant mutual appreciation. Everyone appreciates each other. Everyone appreciates each other's service. And this is what we need to see. That everyone appreciates each other's service. And that everyone is doing a lot of service and not taking any credit, and even when it's given, feel a little embarrassed about it. Think like, you know, what to do with all this now. We're just all trying to render some service. That's all. And that is the essence of Vaishnav relationships. That no one is trying to look for his own advantageous position, but everyone is simply trying to render some service to the Supreme Lord, and some service to the Vaishnavas. So this is very nice. This is what can make us eligible to always remember Krishna. It is, after all, stated, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sunichena, Amani Namanade, Na Kirtaniya Sadahari. That Kirtaniya Sadahari, or to always chant the holy name of the Lord, depends on humility. Right. That is there. So, depends on putting our own self-interest last, and to put everyone's interest before ours. That is humility. Humility is that the needs and well-beings of others should be dealt with first, and mine last. Right? Mine last. Yeah. That is true humility. When you say, no, my needs are first, well, then humility is could be lacking. Not always. Sometimes it is one's duty, just like Prabhupada pointed out that it was his duty to accept a lot of worship because this is the position of the spiritual master. When the mother of one devotee said to Prabhupada, but do you see they're actually bowing down to you? They're actually bowing down. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, and I'm also bowing down to my spiritual master because that's the system. That is the system. One must bow down. You know. But so someone also must accept. That may be. But nonetheless, Prabhupada put himself last. Prabhupada, in the beginning, was cooking the Sunday feast, was serving out the Sunday feast, and was cleaning up also after the Sunday feast, and nobody would help. Nobody ever thought about that. Everyone just came and just enjoyed the whole thing. Right? It was all for free, a huge feast. Prabhupada cooked it all, and everyone got, etc. And then everyone said, that was great, and went home. And then he would just clean up, and he never complained. He just cleaned up. Right? Of course, gradually some devotees started to help, but it said Prabhupada never asked anyone to help. He waited till they asked him to help. And then he said, oh, as soon as someone said, can I help? Then he said, oh yeah, there's a little bit, right? And then, well, from one thing came the next, of course, you know. But he did not go after people. Hey, you know, what do you think? You know, you're coming to this feast and you're not doing anything. No, just come, just come. And so, very, very nice. Prabhupada took that humble position, very humble position. So that stands out for us as an example. When we are looking at how Prabhupada dealt, then we get the perfect example. Any of us, we may not always deal perfectly. Right? That may not be. But anyway, we are committed. At least we are committed to Krishna consciousness. Right? Even if sometimes we deal too heavy, even if some other times we don't deal heavy enough, even if sometimes we are lacking in honesty, even if we may find some imperfection in us, at least if we are committed, right, to serving and really give our energy and time, then those Kali Yuga faults, right, are not impediments. It's not so harsh, Krishna consciousness. Ananyas chintiyantumam ye jana paryupasate, because Krishna will help. Sometimes we have discussion about Lord Brahma, and it's said that Lord Brahma is the head of our sampradaya. And Lord Brahma is a pure devotee. Then we heard that on one occasion Lord Brahma became bewildered by the illusory energy and became attracted to his own daughter. Just like, how is this possible? Right? Well, whatever it may be, right? Said, how then is Lord Brahma a pure devotee? Said, Lord Brahma is a pure devotee because even when he makes a mistake, he has done so much service for Krishna that Krishna personally will immediately make arrangements to rectify him if there's any mistake. So Krishna keeps him on the path. Krishna helps him. So in the same way, even if we are lacking and even if we are failing, Krishna will help us. Krishna will also support us. There is no doubt about it. In this way, Krishna consciousness is not something impossible. Right? It's not that it's so high that there is no living being on this planet who could ever reach it. Right? The dwarf who has to capture the moon. And which makes us hopeless. Right? Say, well, you know, can you do? It's just too high, too difficult. That is not actually Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that people like us, with all our skeletons in the closet, whatever they may be, skeletons in the closet means all our hidden secrets, all our hidden secret sins, right, that are there in the closet, well hidden, behind our holy faces, but still, they're there, these skeletons in the closet. And the result is that love of God is not manifesting. Bhagavatam makes that point that in that heart where actual love of God is not manifesting, when the hairs are not standing on end, when tears are not coming in the eyes at the recitation of the holy name, then know that that heart is steel framed. Steel framed means skeletons in the closet. Right. Dump. Naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. That we are becoming covered. We're becoming covered by the energy of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur very interestingly said that not only are if we are looking for knowledge to another source than Krishna, then not only are we finding ourselves poorly supplied, but we also lose the capacity for retaining knowledge. So our power for getting knowledge gets lost more and more. So gradually, we are becoming covered over. That is the nature of the conditioned soul. So this is where we're coming from. From the conditioned stage. Now that we are here, it's amazing. This movement is very, very high, very exalted. It is amazing how exalted it really is. It is a perfect movement. It is meant that everything we do is perfect. And until it comes to that, we have to change. And only humility can make us do it. And it is due to lack of humility that we are not changing. Because we don't want to. Yeah. Out of spite. We're not going to change. Yeah. Not going to do it. Yeah. You know, why would I change? Let them first change. Right? Or, you know, why would I have to change anyway? You know, I'm not so bad. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying. Isn't that good enough? But when there's humility, then we can come to this point where we accept I need to change, and where we it's difficult to change because I'm not very strong, but I need all the mercy I can get. Then when that eagerness comes to, in humility, take whatever mercy is offered by the devotees, then one can change by the help of the superior Vaishnavas. Very quickly one can change. If one can actually carry the instructions of the Vaishnavas on one's head as a jewel, right, then one can very quickly change. But if every step of the way, it becomes a debate, an argument, a disagreement. I don't agree, and what about this point? And my opinion is actually that, and I've heard from 27 sources, which are all bona fide, at least 26 of them, that this and this point is a fact. And if we are convinced that this is the way we conduct spiritual life, because now I've been a devotee for 20 years, so, you know, I know something. Fine. Right. But as the years go by, gradually we come to the point that, we know something. And the something we know is that we know nothing. Right. And that's about it. That is true. We have to come to this point of becoming very simple. Very simple. The other day we were reading that Prabhupada told Tribhuvanath, Tribhuvanath, such a great devotee, who really gave his life for preaching and for going in difficult places and always taking hardships, never wanting any facility, even although he was a senior devotee, never asking for even a room in the Bhaktivedanta manor, right? How many times did he sleep in the corridors? Here in Amsterdam, he came for Rath Yatra, and he just slept in the car, right? He didn't have to do that. One little call, I am Tribhuvanath, I'm coming. Oh, yes, Tribhuvanath, please, you know, we'll give you a nice room because you are Tribhuvanath. Right? No, sleep in the car. So, Tribhuvanath said that when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada sat down on the Vyasasan and began to speak and said that Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. And yes, that is something. It is very simple. Krishna is here. Right? We can serve him now. It simply means that. Now, we must not only work hard for Krishna. When we begin, we must immediately work hard for Krishna. If we don't give all our energy for Krishna, then how can we advance? If we hold back energy, because that energy that we're holding back, that energy will manifest somewhere else. And that will manifest in dwelling on Maya. So if there's any energy that we have that we don't give to Krishna, be sure that that energy will harass us. And then we say, my mind. Oh, my mind and my senses are disturbing me so much. It's so difficult in Krishna consciousness to be Krishna consciousness. My mind is so disturbed. Yes, but when we give all energy in the service of Krishna, then there's no energy left for the mind. So all energy must be engaged. No holding back. So we must work very hard. How many times did Prabhupada say that the idle mind is the devil's workshop? Right. He liked that saying very much. He said it many times. So, one secret in Krishna consciousness is to be very busy in devotional service. One must be always busy, and then still more busy, still cannot say no. Today we were remembering how Lokanath Maharaj once approached me and asked me to help him with the centennial. And I said, Maharaj, you know, I'm so busy, right? I'm so busy. And he said, I said, why are you asking me? Why don't you ask someone who's not so busy? He said, no, no. He said, if you want to get something done, you always have to ask a busy man, right? I said, like, why? I said, why? That's strange logic, right? A busy man, he has no time. And he said, yes, he may have no time. He said, but a busy man, he's always doing many things. So even if he has no time, at least he'll do something. He said, but a man who's not busy, he's a lazy man. He'll never do anything. So this was Maharashtra village logic, you know. I could really see I'm coming here to some other type of, another realm of logic, you know, something, another world, you know, but very, very profound and smart, actually. There's some sort of good sense in the whole thing, yes. So one must be very busy in the service of Krishna. Ananyas chintayantumam ye jana paryupasate. One should always think of Krishna, right? But how are we going to think of Krishna all the time? Does it mean that we have to sit on a stone and hold our chin and think of Krishna, 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 Krishna? Well, very soon someone else comes around the corner. It's me. Haven't seen you for a long time. What? Right? So that's very difficult. Very difficult. We cannot always think of Krishna. So we just get involved in working hard for Krishna. And then, through that process, we become purified. And gradually, by hearing, we begin to understand better of how to be Krishna conscious. How to be the representative of Krishna. We are, after all the representative of Krishna. It's not only that the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Every one of us is the bona fide representative of Krishna. And gradually we begin to learn better how to be the representative of Krishna, so that we become avaya media. Like Trivika Maharaj tells the story that Prabhupada stood at the bottom of the stairs and made a little pirouette and said, "My spiritual master made me into a diamond." Right. Totally transparent to the will of Krishna. So this is, this comes later. This doesn't come at first. At first, in our devotional service, it's crude and we are just somehow or other doing a lot of work. In the process of it, we may fry out a few people. In the process, we may be rude and harsh to others. In the process, we may not be so refined in our dealings. In the process, we may get very passionate, right? And then be very passionate in dealings. In the process, we may be envious. In the process, we may be angry. In the process, there may be big fights amongst devotees. All that may be there, and we see that. Yeah. Because in the beginning, we are not so refined, but gradually, by that service, we become purified and we begin to become aware that it's not only what you do, but that it's also important who you are. And it becomes more and more important to realize who we are. Not only that we do devotional service for Krishna, but also who we are as persons and what qualities we have and how we act, how we speak. Because after all, it says in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that one can recognize a Vaishnava by how he sits, how he speaks, and so on. So how he behaves. So gradually, we have to change our behavior. Now, changing our behavior is not a matter of playing another role. It doesn't mean, now I'm a Vaishnava. Yes. Yes, I'm a Vaishnava. I'm very humble, Prabhu. I am also meek. I'm very gentle. Yes. I'm a Vaishnava, you know. Not that we are just, yes, are you also a Vaishnava? And we're enjoying the association of all the Vaishnavas. And very nice. Vaishnav Sangha. Yes, Haribol. And we're now in a new role, right? That's not enough. That's not enough. It must go to a much deeper level that we understand why. Why? That we, first of all, understand that harsh behavior, that nobody likes to be shouted at, right? You don't like, we don't like it when somebody shouts at us. If somebody just comes at me and starts just giving it to me straight in the face, you know, I'm just like, well, you know, poof. I mean, wait a minute, right? I feel like, you know, I mean, like, you know, one more time and I'll give it back to you, you know. Wait a minute, right? And it's like, this is outrageous, you know. And it didn't do anything, right? it's very difficult to be treated harshly. So gradually, over the years, it begins to dawn upon us gradually that maybe we should stop treating others harshly. You know, the other day, I was a little shocked because there was a cloth store in Vrindavan and the owner of that store told one of my disciples, and they said, "Oh, he's your guru? Oh," he said, "Oh, he's a very angry man." You know, and I thought, well, this is totally outrageous. I was getting angry. I said, "I'm not an angry man, you know." Right? I never bought any clothes from the guy anyway. Right? I never even bought anything in his shop. Never, you know. I never used to go to that shop. Right? I never raised my voice once to the guy. Right? I just think, no, you know, not once. Right? I thought, did I ever say an unfriendly word to him? I didn't. You know, I didn't. It's injustice, unfair. Right? Yeah, I was angry. So, but anyway, I became angry though. Right? So I was thinking about it. So what to do? What to do? We are Kali Yuga men and Kali Yuga women. And it's so deeply rooted in us that it's not just transformation, pure devotee, you know. Now we're pure devotee. It's nice. At least we develop that commitment. Prabhupada, yes, we want to give our life to you. Like Brahmananda was sitting in Vrindavan recently and giving a lecture, and at the end of the lecture, someone said, "Well, Brahmananda, what do you really want to? What do you really want to do? What would you do if it was up to you?" And Brahma said, "You're asking me really personally? So personal." Yeah, what? And he said, "Me, I just want to be with Prabhupada." Right? And that was nice. And he spoke every Sunday at the moment. He's speaking in Prabhupada's house about Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And it is just, what can we say? He's Brahmananda, you know. There's only one Brahmananda, right? And he got that special closeness with Srila Prabhupada. And no, we cannot have that, you know. We can just listen as he is sharing his relationship with Prabhupada, which is just so deep and so strong that it's just, you know, we thought that we had some attachment to Prabhupada. We thought that we had some commitment to Prabhupada. But then, you know, you realize, I don't have nothing, right? I don't have any attachment to Prabhupada at all, sitting next to such a Vaishnava who has such a relationship with Prabhupada. Maybe life after life, right? Who knows how many lifetimes he's been so dedicated to Prabhupada to become Brahmananda. You know, you don't know what you have to do, right, to get such an opportunity. Yeah, you don't know. It's amazing. We don't know where Prabhupada is. One time, you know, sometimes the devotees were discussing how Prabhupada, on the 14th of November in 1977, went back to Godhead. And then one day, once in Vrindavan in the 80s, Sri Vikramaraj gave this lecture and was saying that, "I don't know if Prabhupada went back to Godhead," right? And everyone was shocked, you know. How could you say such a thing? You know, it's like apparat. Everyone's thinking, "My God," you know, offenses of the Vyasasana flying around, right? How can a Swami say such a thing, you know? And then he said, "I don't know. He might as well be in another universe doing just the same," right? Doing just the same. And he might as well be. He might as well be. Because, you know, maybe really he's much more merciful than we can imagine, than we ever thought of, than we ever dreamt of. But One Vaishnava considered it, at least, that maybe Prabhupada was that merciful, that he was doing it again in another universe. And his associates are there. So we are there also, somehow or other. We are there. And it's wonderful. And we should find out more about about a devotee like Srila Prabhupada who really always remembered Krishna and who really developed all good qualities. It is said that automatically all good qualities will develop. Sometimes I'm wondering how long is it going to take if it's automatically developing. Still not really so much, right, in terms of qualities. So many times I still respond in situations and afterwards I think, why did I say it like that? Why did I do it like that? I should have done this. I should have said that. And so many times. Should not have said this, should not have said that, how many times? But whatever may be, let us go forward and let us just try. First of all, to be always in the association of devotees. To be always busy in devotional service. And then, let us just contemplate for what qualities have we developed now, right? What have we become? Right? What has it done to us all these years? What have we become? Have we already grown into greater beings? Right? Are we really well-wishers? Are we already... Krishna is the friend of all living beings. Suridam Sarvadeinam. Are we the friend of all living beings? Right. Are we that generous? Like Parma Dayalu. We saw him today in his rain suit at the door. Right? The funny boots and etc. And with his beads that are broken in his bead bag, and he lost one round, right? Somehow or other. He had no bead bag, actually he had a big glove, right? He has a big glove, and he had his beads in the glove, and then the beads slipped out of his hands, and he said, oh, now I lost one round! And of course, someone else said, you know, it just disappeared in smoke, right? Can you lose a round? But that Parama Dayalu goes to people here in Amsterdam that we might not even talk to. Right? That we would even not want to go near to. But he goes there and gives them prasadam. Right? To the low life. And it's getting pretty low in this city. Right? So what can we say? Are we the friends of all living beings? When will that day come that we can really look with so much kindness upon everyone? Look with so much patience upon everyone. Look with so much mercy upon everyone. When will that day come? I'm thinking about it. Can't say I have it, but I'm thinking about these things, that this is what we should have. I'm trying, and we are all trying, but we're falling short. So this is what we, what it means. Ananyas chintayanto mam, means that we should have no other interest than the interest of Krishna. Yeah. So to have no other interest than the interest of Krishna means nothing is important other than what Krishna considers important. Yeah. So many things are important to us. But are they important to Krishna? If they're not important to Krishna, then they're not important. Yeah. Very obvious. But that's such a big thing, you know, to actually accept simply as important what is important to Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. You might just miss it. All right, so with all that, I will come to a conclusion. I think that as long as we stay with the devotees, we will not miss it. Because being with the devotees, there's always a rejuvenation of our Krishna consciousness. As long as we go back again and again to the devotees, whatever they do to us, we will not ever leave the association of the devotees. Of course, one can be in the middle of the association of the devotees and become bitter. When one is bitter over how one is dealt with, then one can be in the middle of the association of the devotees, but one cannot associate. Because that bitterness is like a wall which will block us from taking advantage of the association. Association with devotees means open-hearted, with appreciation. Right? It's not a simple thing. It requires humility. Right? So, but as long as we stay in the association of the devotees, then surely we will remain. We will always again get an opportunity for purification. Wherever are devotees, there is purification going on. This is amazing. No one in the world even thinks about it. Purification? What a strange word, right? Purification here in Amsterdam. Purification, you know, what is that, right? But this is what we do. Purification. And it's very nice, actually, to become pure. Right. So, let us just stay close to the devotees and continue with great eagerness to serve Krishna, to purify ourselves so that we can serve Krishna better. We are not just thinking of purification. I want purification. I want purification. I want purification. I want purification so that I can serve Krishna better. That's very important. Not just I want purification. I want purification. I want purification to serve Krishna better. That is what we desire. So let us see if we can maybe get some discussion going, some comments, questions. If someone starts acting too humble, then sometimes, if it's really acting like an actor on stage, it's obnoxious, right? Some people are just so humble, acting so humble that you just feel, you know, can't you just be normal, you know? Yeah, just be normal. Give us a break, you know. Like, and Prabhupada also responded to that mood when this devotee said, "I'm the most fallen." And Prabhupada said, "You're not the most of anything." Right? This is a famous quotation. So that's the same principle where someone was acting too humble, you know. So being humble simply means that you don't have to demonstrate it all the time. That is the point. When you start acting humble, right, it means you have to demonstrate it all the time. "I'm so fallen. I have no qualifications. I am just a wretch." You know, all the time you have to just show people how humble you are. That's acting humble, in the sense of an actor, making a show of humility. So that's not required. Being humble, although we are not yet humble in our heart, but taking the humble position just simply means that whenever you think, "I know," "Oh, shut up. No, I don't know. That I just try to control this thing where I know and I will do what I want, what I think, and so on. No, this must be checked. This must be controlled. And now I will accept what the Vaishnavas say. I will be like a piece of dough in the hand of the Vaishnavas. Very difficult, you know. And I'll actually ask the Vaishnavas. I'll make myself dependent on the Vaishnavas. What do you think I should do? God, I hope he's not going to say something I don't like. Huh? Not like, you know, first politically maneuver yourself in a position and then take some blessings on the way. Huh? But actually make ourselves dependent. What would you really want? And so humility means that. Make ourselves... That's the humble position that one can take. Then still one is not humble, but at least one has taken the humble position. So I made a distinction then between acting humble, where we are showing off our humility, rejected. Then taking the humble position, not putting our own priorities first, but putting the priorities of others before us, the priorities of the scriptures before our own, the priorities of the acharyas before our own, the senior Vaishnavas before our own. And if we do so, then eventually we become humble. Then it comes. So real humility is obviously very close to simplicity. Right? Just be very simple. No need for a show, no need for, you know, so much. Just service. Yeah, step by step. Yeah, it's all step by step. And you can jump also very quick, but you can also fall back if you jump too high. Parvita Prabhu.
About humbleness, which I'm making as well, of course. But you can start practicing when people insult you, especially unjustly, when it's not true, an excuse or something.
Yeah, like I'm angry.
And control the response, controlling your tone, and then the truth will come out anyway, because Krishna said it inside, someone else will defend you. If you don't have to defend yourself, that's by practicing, and then you'll come back up more. Not always, because I've been here 30 years in this temple, and I know the devotees there like this, and then you say something like that, they get really angry, or you say something, do this, and he says, yes, but they don't do it. Well, others say, no, I don't want to do it, but afterwards they feel bad and they do it. So, what is true? Was it more humbleness to say, doing it like this, and not doing it, like if your spiritual master tells you, or the president tells you, I want you to do this, and he says, yes, but we don't do it. Or he's, so we have to try to learn to as a temple devotee, most devotees who follow some authority, and you accept an authority, the authority is put in a position, you have to accept it, you receive in the president like that. So when someone is given to you, they have to accept that, and by this acceptance, you go more and more.
Yeah, and it also means to when you're humble, then you appreciate more. Right? So when we're very humble, then every instruction of Krishna becomes more valuable. When we are like proud, you know, or too convinced of our own thing, then we cannot actually hear, and we're missing so much. Right? So the more we actually think, yeah, I'm not qualified, I need all the help we can get, the more we actually will find, and we'll read this verse, this purport, and we'll get so much more, right, than we would get if we are proud. So, because we become open for guidance, we become open for help. Like you can look at it, there are devotees who may be senior in this movement, yeah? And you may say, yeah, they may be senior, but they're not pure devotees, you know? They're senior, but they're not yet pure devotees, you know, they have false ego too, yeah? you may see like that, and therefore, because you found some false ego, you may say, oh, you know, therefore, you know, I don't feel that I have to really take him so serious, you know. Only if there's a senior devotee who's free from all false ego, I'll accept him. I'll be humble in front of him. Oh, yes, definitely. But if I find a trace of false ego in someone, then I do not have to really be so humble because everything he has to say is contaminated anyway, right? Kind of. But this is not a fact, right? Even if within a person there is, there are some faults or there is some lacking of quality, still, there are many, many great treasures. Many, many great treasures in the heart of any Vaishnava who has done substantial service. Substantial service is never, ever, gone to waste, right? Even if you see that a person has false ego, still within him, all the substantial service he has done has stored in his heart and are jewels, and from his heart can come very deep realizations. So he should never be judged just on maybe a moment wherein it seems, well, he's not acting so elevated as a Paramahamsa now. That would be a big mistake. That would be minimizing someone. A Vaishnava must be looked up upon by his service. Right? That must always be considered. Right? What service has he done? Anybody else? Yeah, I see.
I have a question. I heard in a lecture about living in the temple that whenever some service is done in the temple for Krishna, for the deities, then the benefit goes to all the devotees which are living there and for which are serving.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. So if it's like this, what's about offenses with the
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so it's definitely, the benefit is there. In fact, you know, not only, it doesn't stop at the front door of the temple, the benefit even spills out into the street, right? This street has been blessed, I don't know why, but it's been blessed. Krishna's ways are inconceivable. Yeah? But anyway, this, of all streets in the world, this one's blessed. So Krishna, his blessings even extend beyond the temple. Now, as far as offenses, we should always remember that this age is the age tinged with mercy. Right? So Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation that tends to overlook offenses. So normally, the offenses would count as much as the benefits. But because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the reactions to the offenses are minimized. That is always to be remembered. We find that different offenses have, depending on the degree of seriousness, have reactions. And when offenses are very serious, then they do not just affect the person who has committed the offense, but also his associates. Right? Still, in a Vaishnav community, the Vaishnav himself may be protected by his service. Right? So therefore, may not become so much affected. Yeah? And if a Vaishnav is very sincere in his service, even if he's surrounded by the greatest offenders, he can remain protected without a doubt and remain unaffected. Sometimes we've seen that a spiritual master fell down and committed the greatest and committed offenses by acting highly improper. What can be said? It is great misfortune. But the disciples who were sincerely following did not share in that offense. They remained properly situated. They were not affected. So we are seeing proof here, that it is possible to stand on the strength of one's own service and be protected. But when offenses are committed in the temple, it can affect the atmosphere, especially if we allow these offenses. But we should not become like a sort of police force where we are looking at all the offenses that are being made. We should just be very kind and look at the mercy. And the offenses is more, our meditation on the offenses is there to do things properly. Right? But we should also see things in context. Yeah, that like we cannot always in this age of Kali do everything do everything very 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 perfectly. Therefore, it is said that deity worship, which requires such high standards, is very difficult to perform in this age. Right? In our deity worship, right, in general, I'm saying that we as Vaishnavas are performing in this age is really something like it's rattling on all sides. Right? It's really rattling. But anyway, somehow or other, it's going on. Right? And we're just chanting that mantra. What is it, Paravita? This mantra hinam. You know, there's 1,000 offenses every day. Forgot the mantra. Somebody more loud. We cannot hear. Loud.
Mantra hinam bhakti hinam. Sorry. Mantra hinam
kriya
hinam bhakti hinam.
That's the one. Right. Where it is said that every day I make so many offenses, thousands of offenses I make every day. Right. Unknowingly, please forgive me for this, my Lord. So this is our part of our deity worship. We're praying that. Yeah. So this is not the movement of offenses, you know, and of catching people or making offenses. And the whole movement is being spoiled by the offenses of the terrible members of this terrible, of this wonderful movement. And all these terrible members that are so offensive are spoiling the whole movement. It's not this movement. This is the Lord Chaitanya's movement, you know. He's very kind. But still, we should, of course, try to avoid offenses. And we should also... Now, who are we to point out to others that they're making offenses? This is the most difficult thing, to tell someone to not do something. Oh, my God, you know. I mean... They're doing something and you think it's offensive and now you have to tell them. They're not waiting for you to tell them. And you have, who are you, first of all? What is your position? Chanakya Pandit says that you can only speak to a person if you have the proper position. You must have a position of seniority, right, in order to be able to correct a person. And not only must you have a position of authority or seniority, you must even have a relationship of personal friendship, he says. Only then can you possibly correct someone. So therefore, one must know who to tell. And sometimes we tell indirectly. Sometimes it's not up to us to go to the person, but sometimes we must, through someone else, through someone senior, it must be dealt with. So sometimes when we think that things are not proper, we bring it to seniors and leave it then up to them to deal with it. Because we know, from us, they'll never take it. And even when you're senior, they'll still not take it from you. Yes. Yes.
Alas, you're being traveling a lot lately. Can you share some ways devotees have ecstatic new intentions of spreading Krishna consciousness, or just where the temple is blossoming because of a certain way, things like that?
I mean, where it's really happening now is Mayapur. There's no doubt about it. It's happening in Mayapur right now. That's that Lord Chaitanya is really doing something in Mayapur. There were more flowers than ever this year. They were all bigger than ever. I mean, the flowers are just bursting out, right? They're just getting... You thought that they were always big, but now they're big. You know, you've never seen anything like it, right? It's just everything is growing in abundance. The whole Dham is just showing more abundance than it's ever shown. The whole atmosphere in Mayapur is jubilant, right? There is just, and it's all just seems to effortlessly happening. there's so much deity worship, and it's just all going on, and it just seems to be just here, you know, a little bit is already such a struggle, but there it's just an ocean of worship, and it's just happening, and more is coming, and more glorification, and the whole Dham is just blossoming, and everyone is excited about the Panchatattva arriving. So, what can we say? It's Mayapur, and everything is now that Mayapur, the event in Mayapur, where we are waiting for the appearance of Panchatattva in Sri Mayapur, seems to be reflecting in the world right now. It looks like that. Even here in Amsterdam, it seems to reflect. Yeah? That we're in a lift. Yeah, we're going in a lift. So it seems that that effulgence of mercy is reflecting everywhere. Things are going in a lift. It's like the sun comes through the clouds now in ISKCON at just this point. Yeah, that seems to be what's going on. I don't know if it's true. Maybe it's just my mind, and I'm just, you know, dreaming away. But, you know, what can I say?
Excuse me.
What are they what? For the installation of the Panchatattva deities. Not just ordinary Panchatattva deities, but when Srila Prabhupada came to England, he installed deities and he named them London Iswara, C.C. Radha London Iswara. When he was in Paris, he called the deities Radha Parish Iswara. So Iswara means controller. So the deities of London he called the controller of London, deities of Paris, the controller of Paris. So like that, Srila Prabhupada installed deities for a particular location, for a particular country, a particular place. So deities are installed like that, like Sisi Karuna Nitai, Gora Chandra are for Amsterdam. Yeah, that's clear. It spills over into the rest of Holland also, of course, but especially for Amsterdam. So now in Mayapur, they will install deities of Panchatattva for the whole world. These are not just deities of Panchatattva. There was a prediction made by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that in Mayapur there would be an Adbhuta Mandir, a wonderful temple. And this amazing temple would just stand there for the glorification of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada then desired to make this prediction come true. And Srila Prabhupada then laid the foundation stone and placed Ananta Sesh there, the deity of Ananta who carries, Lord, the carrier who carries the temple for Lord Chaitanya. He installed him there, and the principal deities of that temple would be the Panchatattva deity in life size. Lord Chaitanya was very tall, right? Very tall. So, therefore, the deities will also be very tall. The tallest ones are as much as 7 feet, more than 2'10". Right? So they're very, very big deities, made in 8 metals, Astadatu, and each one has a slightly different color. Because it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gauranga, and Lord Nityananda, his color is described as Rakta Kalevaram. Right, that he has a reddish color. So Lord Nityananda, therefore, also he has a slight reddish glow. Right? So the deity of Lord Nityananda is slightly different in color, right? Has a slightly reddish glow. So all these deities now are about to be installed, and all the Vaishnavas are talking. Everywhere you hear voices of the Vaishnavas. What will it do? And there's speculations and. The twin pujaris in Mayapur who lived there so many years, they were saying, what do you think will happen? They say, I think it will bring about a revival in ISKCON. I think it will bring many devotees back in. It will bring many devotees. And we see that the bookings of the numbers of rooms in Mayapur are just exceeding and exceeding. And there are many old devotees that have never come to Mayapur for many, many years that are going for this event. And we know that in the whole world, something will change. It is not just that some deities will be installed and this is very nice. No, from this day on, something in the world will change. Krishna consciousness will make a significant change. This is my statement. Right? Without a doubt, right? With the presence of Panchatattva, there will be a significant change due to the influence of Panchatattva. And already, just as the sun, right, as the light of the sun is already perceived before the sun is fully risen above the horizon, already the effulgence, the influence of Panchatattva is being felt and perceived. It's very exciting times. That's why we're here in a big temple room. That's what's going on in Mayapur and in Amsterdam at the same time. No, they're being cast right now. They're in South India. And the casting is going on. And Jayapataka Maharaj wanted to send me there because I was just in Calcutta and suddenly he came from the other side of the temple room and he said, "Ah, Kadambakananda Maharaj." I was amazed, you know, he's greeting me like this. And then he gave me a huge hug, you know, a bear hug, right? So I could hardly breathe, you know. And then after that, he said, "Would you like to go to South India?" And he needed a pushy guy, you know. He needed someone who had a little power to push. So he thought that I was the right person for the job. I would have gone, but it was a little bit too late, I mean, to change my schedule. You know? So they're worried. They're hoping they're going to be. It's going to be one of those anxiety. The deities are not ready. No, the casting is going on. But Lord Chaitanya is cast. Yeah. Yeah, but we need five. Casting means that we are pouring the metal into the shape and the form. That's called casting. Casting the metal. No more questions. Are we going to stop? No? Well, we had a nice time in the Holy Dham. It was very nice in the Holy Dhams. We were visiting different holy places in Mayapur, and we got the chance of going into the room of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and all alone. There was nobody there. And he had, there was below his Vyasasana, there was a cloth. And under the cloth, there were two pairs of shoes. And I went for it, you know. Put the shoes all over my head and everybody else. And then we took dust from everything, the walking stick. I was just in that room like a monkey in a cage, you know. Jumping around and putting my head on everything that I wanted to. It was really like one of the highlights of my whole stay in the Holy Dham, the guard was gone. I could just do what I wanted. It was very good. So that was nice. We went also to Ambika Kalna, which is a nice place, opposite of Shantipur. And we went by boat down the Ganges, a long time, putt, 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 putt. and eventually we got to that place, and it was very transcendental. Because there are the deities of Goridas Pandit, right, in that town. And Goridas Pandit, he was very close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his brother, Suryadas Sarakela, was the father of Janava and of Vasudha, right, who were the wives of Lord Nityananda. So, therefore, both Gornitai would often come. And it is explained how there in the house of Goridas Pandit, they would come, and one day Goridas said that you cannot leave. Yeah, that famous story. You cannot leave. And then Gornitai said, well, you know, what can we do? We'll stay here in our deity form. And Lord Chaitanya personally gave deities which were perfect replicas of themselves. And that was, and we were there. So we're looking at the deities. Well, is this how they really look, etc., you know, checking them out, right? Perfect replicas, you know. But you have to have transcendental eyes to see that, you know. Neem. So you have to have, you know, they look like wood to us, you know. But if you have transcendental eyes, you can see that they're perfect replicas, of course. And it is said that actually Gauridas Pandit, at one time, just before Gaur Purnim, so described in the Bhakti Ratnakar, then Gauridas Pandit had to leave. He had to go away. And he left the whole temple and the deities in the care of his disciple Chaitanya Das. Now at that time, Chaitanya Das was seeing that Gaur Purnima is coming closer and closer and closer. What are we going to do? I have to send out invitations if we're going to have a festival here. So he sent many invitations, right? So then, when Gauridas came back, he was very upset. He said, like, how could you send out all these invitations, right? Without any discussion with me, right? Who are you to just invite everyone? So, now you have invited everyone? Good. You know, you take care of them. You have invited them. You have your festival. Right? Basically told them so. You've invited them to your festival, but not my festival. So in this temple, you know, you can't receive him. Go receive him somewhere else. So he was very heavy with him, right? For his independent action. So Chaitanya Das just had his own festival. And it is said, during that festival, suddenly the deities appeared. And they had jumped off the altar and they joined the kirtan in that festival. And it said, then Gauridas came with a stick and chased the deities, who became very afraid. And out of fear of Gauridas, they jumped into the heart of Chaitanya Das, who became totally ecstatic. And from that moment on, became Hridaya Chaitanya. Right, which in the Benelux is always nice to remember this pastime. So that was one. We went to that place, was very ecstatic. And then the place of Suryadas Sarakela, the elder brother, that's where the marriage took place. And that was also a nice story because the pujari there was so nice. He was a real devotee. He wasn't interested in our money. He just was giving us Mahaprasadam, and we were doing a kirtan, and he also got into it. He was very happy that there was such a kirtan. He said, you please come back, and you do more kirtan here. This is your home, and you come anytime. And it was really nice, really nice. So he was telling stories, and he told the story. He said, actually, first, Lord Nityananda married Vasudha, right? And then he wouldn't marry Janava. He didn't want to marry Janava. So, but then it said that Janava was on the occasion of the marriage feast serving out prasadam. And as she was serving out prasadam, then the headpiece of her sari slipped off her head. And then she manifested two extra arms and put it back on while she was serving. So then Lord Nityananda married her also. It's like, that was nice. It was quite transcendental, the whole event. So it was very nice like that. We went to many, many nice places now. I went only to nice places. Haven't done this for a long time. We had nice discussions. We went to Mamgachi in Mayapur. And there is this old Baba who sleeps on a mattress with many blankets right on... next to the altar, on the door, next to the deities, right? He's just looking like, wow, you know, you live here. Yes, he does, right? And he's very close with the deities. This is the famous place where Saranya Thakur, who was such a great elevated personality, decided that he wanted to initiate a disciple, and he was going to initiate the first person he saw that day, and it happened to be a dead body, and he touched it with his foot, and then that dead body became alive and became his disciple, Murari Chaitanya, who used to go into the jungle and slap tigers and tell them, chant Hare Krishna, because he was fearless of death. Right? So this place, there's this old Baba, and he lives there, and he's very nice. And but he sleeps there, and the altar, you're looking, and he's like, he's all bent over and really old, and the temple is run down. So, you know, the Western mind may think, well, you know, well, this place. But then he was cooking for us. And he really cooked for a long time. Right? And we had to wait for a long time. But he's really cooking this big thing, and this big feast he cooked, right? And he cooked his big feast. And then they all served it out, you know, the local Vaishnavas. And they were so nice in serving that out. They did it in such a nice Vaishnav way, and they just served us and served us and served us. And then you just see how much people want to serve the Vaishnavas, you know. And this is like, in how much trouble they take to serve a Vaishnava. Right? And this is very wonderful to, and I was thinking in that place, and I was thinking the same thing later in Shiva's Angan, in Mayapur, I was thinking that I could have never come here. Right? I could have never appreciated these places, you know. They're not so clean, they're not so beautiful, they're not so nicely painted. I would have never appreciated these places. But because of Prabhupada, somehow or other, I came here, and now I have developed some vision to appreciate the service attitude of these people. I would have. So, Prabhupada gave us such a great gift, you know. Not only did he give us the gift of chanting the holy name, but he also gave us the eyes by which we can appreciate the holy Dham. Yeah. And actually appreciate the Vaishnavas, the Bengali Vaishnavas, who've given their whole life, who are bent over with old age and serving like this. It's very nice. Very nice. Can I say? So many nice things there. I only saw holy places, nothing else. Forget it. Didn't want to see anything else. No. I'm a devotee of the Dham, you know. Whatever, I don't know, but the Dham has really done it, right? It's the Dham. It's like, I was wandering in this world, before I was a devotee, always looking for something I'd never found. But as soon as I found, and I was traveling and traveling, but when I came to the Dham, I stopped traveling and just stayed as long as I could, right? It's the Dham. So we should spend time in these holy dhams, right? Even if it costs a lot of money, even if we have no time, we should go there to the holy dhams, right? Because there's so much mercy. We're so unfortunate that we are not in the holy dham. What are we doing here in this rotten place? It was so nice after a long, long time to really spend some time in the dham. Right? So nice. I'm going to do it every year, and I don't care about the world, right? whether it goes to hell or not, I'm going to the Dham every year for a couple of months. This is my plan. So maybe next year we can go together. Your drama party is already there. Everywhere in Mayapur there are signs, you know, Paravida is coming. He needs actors. It is true. The advertisements are all over. Yeah. Me too. But I'm sure, because this year there is special mercy. Yeah, I'm sure it will be very transcendental. Okay. Now we're going to stop. I'm getting tired. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.